The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we crank it up for another week of covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in this gaming capital of the world. We welcome you to the Race Day show for this Wednesday, the 11th day of September. And before we get started with anything else, and I want to welcome everybody that's watching us on YouTube, at the South Point Studios streaming network. If you're there, you know, just log in and don't forget to subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, you subscribe. It's free. And then you can start chatting, and the chatters are already cranking away. And I also want to welcome everybody that's running around this smoky town this morning with our anchor radio station here at Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and everybody else that's listening over the other platforms that include our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global, your iPhone or your Android with your KSHP and your YouTube apps on your iPhone or your Androids, and of course anywhere else you get your podcasts, and we welcome you to the show. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody that you should know the significance of this date, 9/11. It was 23 years ago that a historic and tragic event happened that changed the course of our country and the people in it. It was the attacks on the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, and a field out in Pennsylvania that downed several planes that were loaded with people. And, of course, the Twin Towers, of course, also went down. And as a result of that, this country never was the same. We changed. 23 years ago today, that tragedy happened, and we vowed never to forget, and we will not forget all of those people that died innocently and all the people that died trying to save other people in heroic acts that are beyond comprehension. So I just want to remind you all out there that 23 years ago that happened. Now, I know that for those of you watching on YouTube and for those even listening over the airwaves at Sports Talk 1400 AM, you know that we have those commercials for Twin Towers and the Tunnels to Towers is the name of the charity. It was born from this tragedy that happened 23 years ago. Frank Siller, who is the director of Tunnel to Towers, lost his brother, a fireman, in that a tragic event that day when he was rushing back into the building to help other people. As a result of that, Frank dedicated his rest of his life to helping all of those survivors and then some. And since that charity started, he's not only helped all of the people that were byproducts of 9/11, but he has now branched it out to help all of the servicemen and all of the police and other people who serve us in those capacities and their families when they pass away from doing their jobs. And now he's branched out, and they're starting to help the veterans, homeless veterans, get homes. It is an unbelievable beautiful charity that happened from a tragedy. Now, they ask for $11 a month. You hear the commercials. And when you're a race player, you equate that to being, it's a dollar less than a $2 exact three-horse exacta box. And maybe on this day, if you've never thought of it, it would be a nice idea to maybe join them and give $11 a month for that. Now, we don't say that, we never ask anybody for anything like that, but on a day like today, remembering 9/11, maybe it is time to just take a seat back and remember. Please, never forget. All right, now we will get on with the business of talking about racing. Oh, one more thing. We got to talk about the weather before racing. It is horrendous out here. Not rain, not wind, smoke. Those raging, out-of-control fires in Southern California have made their way over the mountain range and is dropping into this valley. And when I got in the car this morning, you can smell the smoke. You can see it. I could not see the strip at all. And I mean, I'm telling you, when I drove down Las Vegas Boulevard to come here to this complex, you could not see down the street on the strip at all. You can't see anything, the mountains or anything. It is, the smoke is just inundated this basin of Las Vegas, Nevada. So the air quality is not real good today here in Las Vegas. I would suggest anybody out there here in Las Vegas to stay indoors as much as possible today. The air quality is not good. All of that haze you see out there isn't smog. It isn't fog. It's the smoke from the Southern California fires. Right now, it's 84 degrees outside today. It's going to be 102 today here in Las Vegas. But the big weather factor here in Vegas is the smoke from all of the fires in Southern California. As far as the weather is concerned around the country, looks like, that hurricane that's about ready to hit the Gulf Coast along the Kentucky shoreline, the Louisiana and Alabama is going to make its way through there. And a little bit of action going on as far as precipitation in the Great Northwest. But outside of that, the rest of the country looks pretty good as far as the weather conditions are concerned. Miami, 88 degrees. New York City, 80 degrees. You got Chicago at 88. Southern California, LA is 83 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, again, the hottest spot in the country at 108. And like I said, today here in Las Vegas will top out at 102, but the smoke is the big weather factor here in Las Vegas. Now let's get to some of the racing news. First of all, Del Mar closed. As you know, Del Mar ended up on Sunday. And taking a look at the final card at Del Mar on Sunday, the second race was won by the leading jockey, Juan Hernandez, paying $9.20. And then in the third race, Hernandez came back to win for Carla Gaines, paying $10.20. The fourth race for two-year-old maiden fillies was won by Practical Dream for Kazuchi Kimura. First time starter there for Tim Yachtin to pay $23 even. And then in the fifth race, Juan Hernandez got his third win in the first five races at Del Mar on Sunday with Phosphorus Sense. And that horse paid $9.80 for Mike McCarthy. Then John Sharif came with a winner in the sixth race, Momad, with Umberto Rispoli, paid $23.40. Now remember, it was a mandatory payoff in the pick six. And when you start into those pick six races, wait till you see the prices here. Seventh race, which was the second in the sequence. Remember, the first race of the pick six sequence was the sixth race, paid $23.40. The seventh race, Sorrento Sky wins for Antonio Freisu on the turf at 5 furlongs for Phil D'Amato and paid $13.60. Eighth race winner, Tiger in My Tank, Kyle Frey aboard. Librato Barocchio was getting his first Del Mar win on closing day. So Librato Barocchio got off the schneid, at least at Del Mar, winning that race. Look at the price, $102.20 for that upset winner in the eighth race at Del Mar on Sunday. The big favorite in that race was, the big favorite in the race, Bob Blue Moon, ran off the board. Then we went to the ninth race, the Del Mar Juvenile Turf for two-year-olds at a mile on the turf. The winner there was Artis Las was a pick by Rich Eng, who had a banner day on Sunday on the show. Three picks on Sunday, one NFL, two horses. They all won on Sunday at Del Mar. This was the Del Mar pick for Richie. Artis Las paid $17.20 for Jeff Mullins and Raylu Gutierrez. Finishing second was Sabretooth, third was Scipion. And in the $300,000 Del Mar Futurity, the winner there was Gaming, who stayed down on the rail and came off the pace to win. Trained by Bob Baffert, ridden by Flavian Pratt, Gaming paid $9.80 to give Baffert his 18th Del Mar Futurity win. But Bob Baffert had three horses in the race. Finishing second was Mackenzie Street. Third was another Baffert trainee, Citizen Bull. The big, huge favorite, the big 3-5 favorite there Baffert, Getaway Car, had the lead and just backed right out of it at the top of the stretch. So Baffert wins the Futurity with his third highest of the three priced horses that he had in the race, paying $9.80. And again, those folks out there that say get the longest price of uncoupled entry with trainers, hit again. Gaming wins the Del Mar Futurity. Final race of the meet. The 11th race on the card was won by Regalosh. Regalosh was a pick by Jerry Jackowitz, paying $4.60 on the show. It was trained by George Papapodromo, who had a hell of a meet at Del Mar as well. So when it was all said and done, nobody had the pick six, but it was a mandatory payoff, which means all the money went out the door to the best tickets. The best tickets were 5 out of 6. Each of those paid $15,269.70 to cap off Del Mar this year. As far as the statistics are concerned, the Del Mar, Juan Hernandez won his third summer Del Mar meet in a row, by the way, with 47 wins on the card, three of them, of course, on the final day, with a 28% win batting average for Del Mar. Juan Hernandez, the leading jockey there. Antonio Freisu was second with 36, Humberto Rispoli, 32, Hector Barrios, 22, and Kyle Frey with 20. As far as the trainers were concerned, Baffert wins his ninth Del Mar title. He had 23 winners, most of them with the two-year-olds, trust me. His win percentage was 30% win, and Baffert wins the title with 23. Phil D'Amato was a very close second. He had 21. Most of his came on the turf. Then you had Doug O'Neill with 18. Following that, you had Mark Glatt. John Sadler was 17, and Mark Glatt was with 16. And as far as the horse of the meet, I Scream, You Scream was the horse of the meet at Del Mar this year. As far as the statistics are concerned, the commingled handling at Del Mar, the entire handling, the handle was down 7.8% there. The field sizes, 8.56 per race, which is down from 8.92 last summer and 9.14 from 2023. So even though they had that successful ship and win program in place at Del Mar, the field sizes were still a little bit less than the previous 2 years. And so Del Mar concludes its summer meeting, but remember, it comes back for their Breeders' Cup meeting. The Breeders' Cup meet, 5 weeks, starts on October 31st, goes through December 1st. Congratulations to all of those at Del Mar. All righty. And as far as any of the other news is concerned, I want to remind everybody, well, those of you who know something about European racing, trainer Sir Michael Stout is retiring. He has retired from training. Michael Stout, one of the top trainers across the pond. As far as what's happening this week, all right, Saturday, stakes races, 5 stakes races at Churchill Downs. Remember, this week we have the transition happening. Churchill Downs will open tomorrow. Belmont at Aqueduct will open on Friday. And Los Alamitos, their thoroughbred meet, will open on Friday as well. So that's the transition going on this week from the tracks both in New York, Kentucky, and Southern California. Stakes races, as I say, 5 stakes races at Churchill Downs on Saturday, 2 grade 2s, 1 grade 3. You'll have the Iroquois, for two-year-olds. This is going to be the first race of the year, the Iroquois on Saturday for two-year-olds, that will hold Kentucky Derby points for next year. That race will hold some Kentucky Derby points for next year. You got a couple of stakes races at Louisiana Downs, including the Super Derby there. Los Alamitos will feature the E.P. Johnston. You have three stakes races at Laurel, one at Monmouth, and at Woodbine. You have six stakes races on Saturday at Woodbine, four grade ones, two grade threes, and one of the grade ones is the Woodbine Mile, a key prep race for the Breeders' Cup Mile later on this year, the Woodbine Mile on Saturday among six stakes races at Woodbine. And, of course, you'll have a grade three at Belmont at Aqueduct and another stakes race at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. Sunday, Woodbine comes back with a couple of more stakes races, and Monmouth will have a stakes race. Emerald Downs will have three stakes races on Sunday. So that's what we're looking ahead to this week. And when we get back, we'll start with Jonathan Ardoon, Rich Ang, John Lindo, and Jerry J. And, of course, your racing menu. So don't go away. But on this 9/11, never forget.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
YouTube chat site on the South Point streaming network, and of course the Race Day Show. The chatters are chatting away. Want to remind you that today is closing day at Kentucky Downs. All those big bucks, final day of racing is today at Kentucky Downs. And taking a look what happened Sunday at Kentucky Downs, we had Ired Ortiz Jr. went on a tear there at Kentucky Downs. He won the third race. At paid $9.42. Brad Cox and Florent Garreau got together to win a race for two-year-old fillies, paying $3.22. That was Will Not Be Swayed. Wesley Ward checked in with a winner, Keogh Beach. John Velasquez aboard at $6.42. Sixth race winner, Ballerina Dior for Ired Ortiz Jr. again. Chad Brown for $4.70. Rich Ang's pick at Kentucky Downs also won. That was in the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Mile at a mile, and the winner there was Tiztastic. Tiztastic, Ired Ortiz Jr. got his another win, paying $11.26. That was Steve Asmussen's second win and Rich Ang's second win on the show. Then you went to the Untappable Stakes for two-year-old fillies on the turf at 6.5 furlongs. The winner there was Kilwin. Jose Lascano for Rusty Arnold, paying $7.36. Second was She's a Funky Drummer, and third was Abitonio. And in the $1 million Kentucky Juvenile Fillies for two-year-old fillies at a mile, the winner there was May Day Ready. Frankie Dettori aboard for Joseph Lee, paying $11.16, outrunning Bella Veneno, and she's got Will. In the $1.5 million Gun Runner, at a mile on the turf, on a mile also on the turf, obviously, for three-year-olds. The winner there was Brilliant Birdie. Brian Hernandez for Sherry DeVoe, paying $6.12, outrunning Herchi and Neat, who finished third in that race. And then Ired Ortiz Jr. got his fifth race of the day in the win in the last race with Born Flashy, $7.84 for Ian Wilkes. And now we'll go to the racing menu for today. And we remind you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day, reflect that at the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here in the Pacific time zone, and maybe coming out to the book today at the South Point, all I can say is these will be the first post times that rolled out in our race books today. If you're listening anywhere else in the Pacific time zone, no problem, but you know that we go with all our platforms, go around the world, so we know we're in different time zones, adjust to whatever time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone, so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park begins its first race at 9:30 at Delaware Park. Next comes Belterra Park. Belterra Park has a first post time today of 9:35. Following that comes Parks Racing. Now, Parks Racing's Pick 5 jackpot carryover, $177,962. Okay, $177,962 in the Pick 5 jackpot at Parks Racing. Their first post time is at 9:40. We go then to Finger Lakes in upstate New York. Finger Lakes' first post time is 10 a.m. at Finger Lakes. Kentucky Downs, final day of racing at Kentucky Downs. Their first post time is 10:25 at Kentucky Downs. Mandatory payoffs on all the pools today at Kentucky Downs. Following that comes Horseshoe Indianapolis. Their first post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is at 11:10 there. And then we go to Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time of 12 high noon. Following that, Louisiana Downs. Louisiana Downs has a first post time at 2:05 at Louisiana Downs. And then we wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington Park's first post time is at 4:30. By the way, Finger Lakes does have a pick six carryover, a regular pick six carryover of $6,360. That's your racing menu for today on this Wednesday. Okay, let's go to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you there in upstate New York? I know the weather, I know the air quality is a lot better where you're at than it is right here. It's really bad.
It's absolutely a beautiful day here. It's been since Saratoga closed the racetrack, we've had nothing but nice weather for the most part. And you're right, Ralph. Today is a very somber day. Everybody remembers where they were 23 years ago, and it was probably around this time when it all started, and we should never forget it.
Well, let me ask you then this. Where were you? Do you remember where you were when it happened?
I was. I was actually living in California at the time, and I got woken up, and I turned on the TV. I couldn't believe it. I had family in New York. I had family and friends that actually worked in the towers, and thank God they all got out. But till this day, they still remember the horrific stories and pictures that will never be erased from their mind when they saw people, unfortunately, jumping out windows. It was just, you know, it's horrible. And till this day, people still wake up with nightmares that were there.
Yeah, no question about that. I was doing radio, the Race Day Show, on radio here in town, and our morning guy was Rodney William Stoll. And Rodney, I was getting ready, and Rod called up. He said, do you see what's happening? I go, well, no, I'm getting ready in the house. I'm getting ready to leave the... He goes, turn on the TV. And I turned it on, and I saw that. I go, oh, my God. And he said... He said, do you still want to do the show? I says, I'm going to come in, and I says, I will do my hour helping you out, try to tell people the news as it's breaking. And that's what I did. I went in, and I said, because of what's happening, Race Day will not be on today. And I stood in the studio while he kept going in the next room and ripping off of the AP wire the news items as they were coming in. And I sat there for an hour and just read the news items as they were coming in. It was really shocking.
And you mention every day on this show, Tunnel to Towers. You know, in Saratoga on closing night, we had a big fundraiser, and we do it every year, and they raised a lot of money. And, that's just an unbelievable charity. I mean, like you said, Ralph, it's $11 a month, and we're not telling anybody what to do with their money, obviously.
Sure.
But if there ever was a good cause, that is certainly a good cause.
I want to remind everybody, too, 96%. Of all the money that they raise go directly to the charity to help the people that they say they're helping. And that's why it's expanded to buying buildings, remodeling them for homeless veterans as well, and they're putting in those homes, et cetera. It's because It's you know, nobody gets a lot of money at the top. They just get enough money to operate the charity, and that's one big difference. The money goes right to where you think it's going.
Exactly. It's not being siphoned out and to pay people ridiculous salaries and things like that. And recently, they building or just built a whole village in Florida. I mean, the work they do, if you just take 5 minutes and do any research, investigating yourself, research, you'll see what they do, no other charity does. I mean, I don't know of any other charity. You know, I know of charities that give 80%, 70%, but to give 96 or whatever percent, it's just unbelievable. And besides everything else, it's a terrific cause.
Right.
It really is.
They're doing a lot of stuff that our government's not doing, which is helping out, you know, people who sacrificed their lives to defending America. And not only that, the police and firemen who also, you know, are dying in the line of duty. That's for sure. It's just a great cause. So just remember that, folks. I mean, $2 three horse exacta box a month. And then you still have a dollar left over. It's only $11.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, if you remember, Breeders' Cup that year was at Belmont Park.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest race calls of all time was the classic when Tom Durkin says that "Tis Now" wins it for America. You go back and you watch that replay, Ralph, I promise you, you get chills. You get a tear in your eye. It was just one of the most amazing calls. And it unfortunately came on that, you know, that time.
I remember that the Breeders' Cup and New York Racing, of course, put out the logo early. And the logo, when they started printing T-shirts and all that, the logo had the depiction of Manhattan and the Twin Towers on it. And I think somewhere I still got, I saved that because, as you know, the Twin Towers weren't there when they actually held the Breeders' Cup. Anyhow. Enough said about that. Everybody out there understands, I am sure. Taking a look back at Del Mar, any thoughts?
No, it was a very strange meet. They had two pick six carryovers with all those crazy prices they had. You know, Brad Free was making a point of it on another show that I was on last weekend, saying that the dollar pick six resulted in the fact that there weren't many carryovers. You know, Santa Anita, I believe, is going back to the $2 pick six. Listen, racetracks want carryovers. That's the best thing for them. It grows handle and everything else. So going back to the $2 pick six, while it has its minuses, it certainly has its pluses.
Well, you know, and also that the handle, the commingled handle, the entire handle was down 7.8%. And they did say something about going to the dollar base bet for the pick six might have caused that, you know, that downward trend.
I also think they shut the CAWs out for a while, the computer-assisted wagering, where they bet millions and millions of dollars. They were trying to do the right thing by the players. And, you know, while it may have hurt them in the short term, I think it's a plus in the long term, doing away with the CAWs. But who knows? They may have let them back in because there were some crazy odd drops the last week or so at Del Mar. Maybe they let them back in to try to boost the handle. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but it would be nice if they were transparent about it.
Well, all I could say is that, you know, it was a successful meet for several of the people out there. I know that I think Kyle Frey had a solid meet. I know George Papadromo. He came back. Richard Baltus had quite a few winners. And, of course, Bob Baffert and Phil D'Amato. I mean, Turf, Phil D'Amato, Baffert with the two-year-olds, and then, you know, other things there. But as far as the jockeys, I think Antonio Frisou had a solid meet as well. Juan Hernandez, of course, always, you know, he's always, you know, potent wherever he goes. And he had his third summer meet at the top. Flavien Prat. Rode only four races. He only rode four races at Del Mar. Of course, he came back on closing day to win with the Baffert third stringer, I guess, as far as the more, odds were concerned. But he had four mounts for the entire Del Mar meeting. He won two of those, so he was 50% at Del Mar. And another jockey that was at 50% was Martin Garcia, who only had two rides. And, of course, he won one of them for Bob Baffert. So those guys came in and took a quick hit and did well as well. But all in all, I think it was, you know, mixed results for a lot of people at Del Mar. But The racing was okay, I thought. I just
there were too many days, Ralph, when it was just a conveyor belt and speed won every single race. People don't like that. It's, you know, it's a ridiculous way to have to handicap. And when a track is like that, it turns people off. I mean, let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. There were days when a track was even. I get it. But for the most part, the track was really speed favoring. And not to make excuses, it's not sour grapes. It's just bad racing. A lot of times we were texting back and forth. Here we go again. Here we go again. You know, and people don't like to play tracks like that for the most part.
I'm in full agreement with you in the fact that I don't think people like to bet a track that has a bias one way or the other. Whether it just wants to be fair racing. And you're right. It was pretty obvious, even from some of the commentators on the cable network that was saying it's just been a speed-favoring track. And no matter what those trackmen did on the 2 days off, it was just a speed-favoring track for the meet. That's for sure the bias there. Well, I know that Kentucky Downs has been challenging to you guys, but you got one more day of handicapping at Kentucky Downs. And then the rest of the week, I guess you'll be gearing up for Belmont at Aqueduct on Friday, and of course Los Alamitos as well.
Yeah, and don't forget we have Churchill starts tomorrow, and they actually start off with a pretty good card. I handicapped it already, and so we'll be back tomorrow certainly with selections at Churchill. But for today, we're going to look at the fifth race today at Kentucky Downs closing day, 7 furlongs on the turf. And I like the number 3 horse in here, Double Clutch, a 5-year-old gelding from the George Arnold barn. Rider switch today back to Jose Ortiz. Draw a line through this horse's last race. He was not able to use Lasix. He goes back on Lasix today. His race 2 and 3 starts back. Either one of those good enough to get the job done here. Number 3, Double Clutch, 9-2 on the morning line, wins today's fifth race out of Kentucky Downs.
All right. And believe me, it's cutting purses there? It's only a $200,000 race. $200,000 for this race here. Okay, so we got in that race, the 3 Double Clutch. That's the fifth race at Kentucky Downs, number 3 Double Clutch. And that's your pick today on the show. And again, you'll be doing Churchill, Belmont at Aqueduct, and Los Alamitos this week, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go and breathe some nice fresh air out there, will you, buddy?
Who would have ever thought we have fresh air here and you don't have fresh air there?
Yeah,
be careful, Ralph. It's really dangerous, that air quality.
It gets toxic, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get the man of the hour from Sunday. 3 picks, 1 in the NFL, 2 in horse racing. Bing, 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 bada bing. They all won. And more from Rich Eng right after this.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going, every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting t2t.org.
Hello, I'm Dennis Quaid. For years, Tunnel to Towers has demonstrated a commitment to first responders and military families. They've paid off mortgages and built specially adapted smart homes. Now the foundation is expanding its mission to eradicate veteran homelessness. Please give our veterans a chance to reclaim their dignity by donating at t2t.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Hey!
back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday. We now go out to Rich Eng standing by. We gave Richie a couple of days off on Monday and Tuesday to count his money. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, as far as your football pick, it was hard to take because being in Vegas, you know, I'm a Vegas fan, but I've been a Vegas fan, a fan of the Raiders, I should say. Yeah, the Raiders, I should say, from when I was in Southern California. When they were in Northern California, they were my team. When they came to Southern California, they were my team. They went back to Northern California, they were my team. I moved to Vegas, they came to Vegas, they're still my team, but they need to shore up a lot of things, but the Chargers got there in the end and covered that, and of course a nice win at Kentucky Downs and at Del Mar on Sunday.
Yeah, it was one of those perfect storms, 3 for 3. I'd love to be able to do that every day, but as you know, betting on sports and betting on horse racing, it's not a straight line. It's a roller coaster. You go up and down, up and down. Sunday was one of those up days, and I hope some of the folks out there had a chance to cash on some of those three winners.
Well, looking at the chat box on the on YouTube on our show, yeah, some did, and they were congratulating you. That's for sure. I know it's only been one full week of the NFL, but any takeaways from that?
Well, a couple things, Ralph. One is don't overreact one way or the other. Because, as I said the other day, Ralph, with you on the show, mm-hmm. A lot of the starters in the National Football League don't play in the preseason. So, in essence, Game 1 was their preseason, and a lot of them either looked a little rusty, or in the second half they started getting tired, because if you haven't played in the preseason, all of a sudden you're asked to play 60 plays in a football game. By the second half, you're starting to run out of gas. And so don't overreact. You know, good teams are going to rise to the top, and the bad teams are going to be bad. But maybe two examples would be like the New Orleans Saints. They won 47-10 over Carolina, but I don't believe they're as good as they looked against a pitiful Carolina team. You know, things are leaving out for them for the Saints. Don't get too excited. And, you know, the thing with the Chargers, Ralph, when you think about the Chargers, in the first half of the game, I know you watched it, they had 2 first downs in the first half, and they were losing 7-6. And I'm thinking to myself, they're going to win this game because, you know, when the Raiders dominated the first half, when you don't lead by more than 1 point, you're in trouble. And so, you know, I think they'll get better because Justin Herbert did not have a chance to play in any preseason or even practice because of his foot injury. Yeah. I think he'll get better and better.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at that, the Raiders just blew so many opportunities to make scores, as you said in that first half, that, they got to do some tweaking, that's for sure. Well, we all know that Kentucky Downs has been a challenging for all the handicappers, but you like handicapping it. And of course, we got closing day at Kentucky Downs today.
Yeah, my Sunday sheet was the best of the meet. I had 10 listed winners out of 11 races, so there was plenty of chances to cash tickets vertical and horizontal. And let's see if we can close the meet out with a nice winner, Ralph, on top of Tistastic on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The ninth race is a $1.6 million purse. It's the Dueling Ground Oaks going 1 5/16. Almost every horse in this field is exiting a stakes race, but I think the horse that comes out of the strongest race is the number 6, Catherine and Marissa, 7-2 in the morning line. If you take a look at the PPs, this horse lost the Saratoga Oaks Grade 2 to a horse called Cinderella's Dream, who, if you don't know who she is, she's trained by Charlie Appleby mm-hmm. and is probably the best filly and mare turf horse in America. So to lose to that one is no disgrace. I think if she repeats the race, she gets the job done. Let's go with number 6, Kathy and Marissa, in the ninth race.
And Richard Dutrow Jr., the trainer, and Frankie Dettori will be riding. Number 6, Catherine Marissa. Catherine and Marissa is your selection in the ninth race at Kentucky Downs on its closing day. And, of course, coming up for you, you'll be doing Los Alamitos when that starts on Friday, right?
Yeah, and on Thursday, I'll probably do like a simulcast play of the day sheet. I'll just look around for a few horses. Have no idea how many horses I'll have listed. It depends on how my handicap turns out. Could be 3 horses, could be 8 horses, you know, who knows.
All right, you got it, my man. And don't forget that there's a Thursday night NFL game we got to talk about, too. So until tomorrow, thanks a lot, Rich.
Hey, thanks, pal. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we are on our final segment. So when we get back, we'll have John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz. So don't go away.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse with 2 great weeks of racing starting on September 13th through September 22nd. The opening weekend program will feature the E.B. Johnston Stakes. Plus, the summer meet will include the running of the Dark Mirage for Fillies and Mares on Saturday, September 21st. And our on-track handicapping contest is set for Saturday, September 21st. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Daytime racing is back at Los Alamitos, September 13th through the 22nd.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. Now we go to Southern California, where John Lindo is standing by. John, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Well, I'm telling you, it is really bad out here with the smoke from the wildfires in California, but you're in California. How is it there?
Well, we're down here by the coast, so nothing down here, but I understand inland it's pretty nasty. So, you know, we'll hope for the best for everybody that has to work and deal with that stuff and try and get it finished up. We finally got a break in the heat. It's a lot cooler today, so that should help the people fighting those fires.
All I can tell you, it's pretty nasty here. You couldn't see down the strip, and there's big buildings down the Las Vegas strip, and you couldn't see them. The smoke was, it would look like a cloud, you know, the clouds really. But it is the haze from the smoke. Wrap-up assessment of your thoughts on Del Mar.
Well, I heard you mention a couple of things. You know, Kyle Frey, who took off last summer for mental health issues, you know, he took his time, he took care of himself, and he's a different guy this year, and he had a super meet, including winning the Pacific Classic. I thought Armando Ayuso showed he could ride the turf down here at Del Mar. I think he might have had 9 or 10 winners on the grass this summer. Wasn't expecting that. And you saw the usual suspects as far as the trainers going. And like John had mentioned, too, we never saw that shift in the racetrack at Del Mar. It was pretty much inside speed was good all meet. I thought the deep closes on the main track really had a tough time. It stayed consistent, which I guess is good for handicappers. But, you know, if I'm an owner and I bring a horse down there and I don't have a speed horse, I'm really taking the worst of it.
Yeah, no question about that. Shipping winners, there were 1,158 ship and win participants at Del Mar, and I guess they did okay.
I had totals unofficially that they were 29 for 197 as far as starters at Del Mar. Again, I thought the second half of the meet, those horses, once they got a race over the track, they were better. We did not get as much participation this year, and that's because with the purses back east, the slots-infused purses, less people chose to come out to California, so we were kind of dependent on the Northern California horsemen to make up the difference. They did okay. And, you know, if you saw 8.56 or, you know, per horses per race compared to the rest of the year, that's a pretty good number. So we'll be have to be satisfied with that. And it was still good betting opportunities all summer long.
Yeah, and the 1158 that I got was the total horses that were in the stable area that were shipping when eligible. So I guess all of them did not obviously make the races for one reason or another. John, you're this week, what's the plan for the Lindo report?
Well, I was going to do something Thursday, but I've been battling a cold. I'm in and out of the air conditioning, and so I'm not going to do anything tomorrow. I'll take that off. We'll get it going with Los Alamitos on Friday through Sunday, and I'll also do the full card on a good card at Churchill Downs on Saturday, remembering that no turf racing during the September meet at Churchill Downs. It's all dirt, so won't have to worry about off the turf during this meet.
All right, you got it, my man. In the meantime, you take care of what's left in that honey-do list, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Ralph.
Oh, I do want to ask you one question real quick.
Yes, sir.
Do you know, do you remember where you were on 9/11?
Yes, I was taking my son, who was 10 years old, to school that morning. Mm-hmm. When I heard that on the radio driving, I got back home and turned on the TV and, just sat there kind of stunned like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But when you have a young child at that time and you see what's going on, it kind of brings things, you get realistic real fast.
Yeah, you sure do. All right, thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, now we go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by, who is a New Yorker at heart. So, Jerry, I will ask you the same question. Where were you on 9/11?
I was in my bed.
Okay.
I got a call from a friend about what happened.
Now, you were here. You were here in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. We were in our new home.
Uh-huh.
And we moved here in Vegas in 1997.
Oh, okay.
So we were in our new home, and, I'd already been on your show a couple of years, Ralph, so.
Well, let me ask you this. Being from New York, I'm sure you were thinking about a lot of friends and family that were there.
My mom lived on 35th Street, mm-hmm. so she was, fairly close. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, she was sort of midtown, mm-hmm. the lower part of midtown, and so this was down by the water and Wall Street, on the west side of Wall Street,
yeah.
Wall Street, sort of the east side. And, but they're like three blocks apart. I mean, it's very small. It's the tip of Manhattan. So
now, we've been talking on the show about some people ask, why don't we keep score with you guys? And the fact is that keeping score is kind of basic because of the fact that there are really three different items and criteria that horse players have. One is the horse, the bet they're going to make, the horse they pick to make a bet. But a lot of people, there's money management in there. There, the amount of play dictated by the odds of the horse, etc. And it's the type of play, because a lot of people I know are not people who bet win bets. They use the selections in key places for exactas, trifectas, pick fours, etc. So it represents a difference, dynamics to each player.
Okay, well, we've done that on the show for many years,
right,
prior to coming on here at South Point Studio. So it's not something that we're against doing. I'm sure all the guys. I don't know if anybody else does, because I don't hear other. Sure. I don't hear the other guests you have on the show. I only hear you, Ralph,
yeah,
through the way the feed is. So I don't know exactly what other people are saying and doing. But that's really the job of each player.
That's right.
For themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the first thing is it's their work to do for themselves. We can do it in a general way. For me, it's maybe a little different than for anybody else. I don't know how they view their plays and how they should be used, but I certainly don't think my plays should be used as keys or singles in pick threes and pick fours and pick sixes, because I'm almost hoping sometimes my horse runs second and I catch the right exacta. So I'm not of the same mind about that, but what you really are supposed to do more than the selections is you're supposed to keep track of your ROI in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all have a job to do when they play, if they want to play correctly, if they want to play and don't care if they win or lose, it's just, they're just spending time and having fun. That's fine. I'm not against that. I'm not looking down. But if you're about winning money when you play and you think that's really the important thing, as I do, you know, you put up $100, you win 100 back 105, you have 105 in your pocket, you have a 5% ROI. That's what you should be doing. And if you're not, if you're constantly going backwards, if your bankroll's shrinking and you're always adding to it each week, then you need to, that tells you that you need to start doing something different. So I'm totally believe in people doing their ROI.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic thing to do. And it reveals an awful lot about what your thinking is and what you're actually doing. Yeah. And will probably get you to stop playing short-priced horses.
Well, I could say this, that, you know, like I said before, there's three different items. You get a pick. That's what you guys do. You guys give them picks. But then it's the individual's personal criteria and how they play the races and how they use that pick. I mean, you know, people have different ways of playing races. People are you know, I guess your thought has always been first thing to do is bet, make a win bet on the horse, right?
Well, yeah, that's the primary. I've stopped doing it years ago because it's always been this way. But the most efficient bet, the absolute most efficient bet, is a simple win bet. Plain and simple.
Okay.
There's nothing more efficient. That means if you bet the win bet, you'll probably outproduce all of the other things, or at least do as well, just making a simple win bet.
Yeah.
However, you will be subject to very long losing streaks when you do make just a simple win bet all the time. You know, you might win 5 in a row and you might lose 20 in a row.
You're
1 out of 5.
We fully understand that. Okay. But we're wrapping up the show here because, we're out of time.
But what I wanted to say real quickly and
we're out of time, Jerry. You continue it tomorrow. We got no problem continuing it tomorrow. But you got one more thing to say, so say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.